American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Wednesday, May 25th, 2005. This is Newsreel. Your daily report is the law counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny, and we are winning this war. Don't you think for a minute that we are not. We are, in fact, going to be taking back our airwaves, our web waves, our sound waves, and every other kind of wave. We'll take back the ocean waves, too. I think it's kind of retarded we have to pay for parking down by the beach. And incidentally, I bet you no matter where you are in North America, you have to pay for parking at the beach. Which, when you consider that that's really not a good idea to kind of restrict people from getting access to the ocean, you know, really, I just find that to be, you know, kind of over the top. But I digress. This is Newsreel, and you can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. And this is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, 76 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can take it and broadcast it on shortwave. There's an idea. Why don't we do that? Why don't we get this thing going out on shortwave? Do we got any shortwave junkies out there? Because realistically, I see no reason why this show should not be broadcast on shortwave. Come to think of it, maybe I should look into doing that. I got a link sent to me talking about taking a shortwave, doing shortwave transmissions, and apparently you can get converters that convert shortwave into AM and FM frequencies, right? So I was just thinking, if I had, like, say, the big house set up here, and I had the big, you know, shortwave broadcast, you know, thing set up at the house, and then if I were to broadcast shortwave, how many people would be willing to set up repeaters to take that shortwave either to intercept shortwave or to broadcast on FM as well? But we'd kind of pirate. But then again, they couldn't really stop it unless they shut me down, and then they'd have to find it. Kind of a sketchy situation. I don't know. It'd be interesting to do, though. It'd be interesting to do. Because I've listened on shortwave, and let me tell you, some of those guys coming out on the shortwave radios are spouting a lot of very bizarre shit, including the white supremacist crowd, which is weird. I don't understand that, because generally, you know, to do shortwave radio, you got to kind of have a brain in your head. So I don't really understand why all these white supremacists are all out on the shortwave band. Not to make everyone in shortwave look like they're white supremacists. That's not the idea here. But there are a lot of them broadcasting out of the South, which kind of make me go, that's kind of weird. Let's get straight into some feedback. Got a lot of feedback here. Hey, guys, I just want to say, and don't read this until Monday. Don't worry, you didn't get it till Wednesday. Happy 100th episode. Also, I just want to let you know that all Rant Radio Talk has actually changed my life. It caused me to consider things that otherwise would go unnoticed. I'm sure you get a lot of these appreciative emails, as well you should, but I just wanted to say thanks. In the near future, I do, in fact, plan on subscribing. Thanks again, Cliff. Well, thank you, Cliff. And it is cool when we can affect positive change in people's lives, because realistically, that's what it's all about. Since we're not, you know, making money hand over fist over here, you gotta know that it does actually help a lot to get the accolades from time to time and to have people say that it's affecting positive change in their lives. Dear Sean, remember that story about the Chrysler dealership towing their employees' vehicles as they drove to work something other than a Chrysler? Yeah, I remember that. Well, I spoke to Don Campbell this morning. He was the worker that drove his non-Chrysler truck to the work to protest the policy. Ah, WOGs in action. His truck was towed, but the tow company did not charge him for the tow. I also covered this story. This guy, Don, his job is in jeopardy. He was not charged for the tow, and none of the tow companies in Kokomo will come to pick up vehicles now because of all the press. So Chrysler's only resort is to threaten Don with termination of employment, which, what will that do? That does absolutely nothing. I gave Don your email address. I encouraged him to contact you directly, so please scoop that story up as soon as you hear from him, and he said he will contact you. Apparently, local attorneys will not take a case against the policy. Also, human resources managers threatening Don with termination is telling him he's just had his one and only warning, verbally, and that penalty for violating policy is now termination. Notice how this works here. Oh, you didn't tow the party line, so you're fucked. The policy originally stated an employee's vehicle would be towed at a cost of $200. Because he wasn't a lemming and risked that $200 charge, they now want to bat him down. Please rally support for this man. He hasn't done anything wrong. He simply stood up for his rights as a consumer and said, wait a minute, I can't buy what I want to buy because it's my right. It's a union job, and his union is involved. His immediate supervisor agrees with him because he prefers to drive his economical car due to the high gas prices. Don has worked at the plant for over 7 years and has never missed a day of work. If I understood his comments over the phone this morning. I'll even back him with a $200 donation directly to him and his family if he's terminated, and you can hold me to that. Hopefully, I'm not the only warm person willing to help him. And that was Semper Fi Foulware. Now, Foulware is right down there in Seattle, and he's always, just really on the wire. He's one of those wogs who's seriously got his ear to the ground, and he knows exactly what's going on. Now, when you see stuff like this, when you go to war with the core political, you got to bear in mind that you got to think to yourself, how can they hurt me? That's the first thing you want to do whenever you go into a conflict like that. This guy who locked horns with Chrysler there, he's got to think to himself, how can they hurt me? And when you realize that they can hurt you by firing you, you have to think about these things. This is, it's not right, but it's reality. Now, I don't agree that if he's got a union involved, maybe the union will be able to stand up and fight for this. Maybe that we'll be able to get some justice out of here. But this is definitely a story. This is like the little incident that could, man. It's like this is blowing up huger and huger and huger every day. I don't even know if huger is a real word. But I'm telling you right now, this whole thing with the Chrysler, you know, over parking? This is retarded. You're going to destroy the guy's life for parking? Wow, and you wonder why people pick up rifles and go crazy at work, eh? Dear Sean, this is a great email. Here, I got this one. My battle buddy, Maddie, took these pictures. I was curled up in our living container listening to Season 2, Episode 11, My Unknown Shadow. I'm kitted up because there was some interesting stuff going on that night. We aren't allowed to light candles in our dwellings, so I use chem lights. Listening to independent librarian dynamic Sean Kennedy the Sixth has been almost a nightly refuge for me here in Iraq. It's a hell of a message. Thought I would share. That's awesome. This particular one, he sent me two photos. He's all kitted up, you know, sitting in this, basically this shitty little sea container with chem lights on the floor, listening to Tales from the After Now. And I think that that's pretty goddamn cool that there's some vets over there. There's some combat troops over there trying to get a little bit of respite. Because remember, we were talking about people sending books over there to help people escape the nightmare that Iraq is. Well, I'm glad that if my work helps you guys out, please, you know, burn that if you can. Share it around. Give it to guys on the iPods if anybody's got iPods. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of digital media over there because these guys need music and stuff. Please, circulate that and, you know, God bless. And I hope that you can just keep your head down, come home. No such thing as a hero. You know what I'm saying? All right, moving right along. Dear Sean Kennedy, well, Rant Radio opened my eyes. And of many other cause, I spread Sean Kennedy's show amongst all. Mr. Kennedy should do a show in Belgium, Europe, because of the situation is unbearable here. The system controls everyone. There's no more freedom. By the show's Sean Kennedy, there'd be more wogs and people will open their eyes. Yes, Sean, you are the fucking man. This was an amazing broken English letter sent to me from like a dude in Belgium, and I think that's great. And honestly, you know, why not? Why not, rebroadcast? For those of you listening in Europe who want to spread it around, why not? Why not infect the entire world with wogness? Let's get everybody talking about the news, about life, about what's going on in the world from a true perspective rather than a propaganda perspective. Hey, there's a thought. Before I get right into the news, I'd like to give an apology for yesterday where I dropped all of my news links and give you a bit of a description of how that actually happened. If anyone went to my live journal yesterday, they would have seen that this is kind of interesting because I'm talking about what is happening because it's in the morning right now. It's now at the time of this recording, looking on my little computer here, it is 0808 a.m. in the morning, obviously. And I have just posted to my live journal this because the day is really taking a cosmic crap on me here. And what happened is I have different daily formats that I go click on a Wednesday. When I do Wednesday's show, I do all the links and everything, and that way I do my journal entry and so on and so forth. And that's why when people look at my Tuesday or my Monday, they'll see there's a word count posted at 7 o'clock in the morning for like 2,000 words or whatever, which is my daily goal as a writer, I might add. Now, the thing is that what happened was is instead of opening Wednesday's newsreel, when I was doing Wednesday's newsreel format, I opened Tuesday's, deleted everything off of the Word document, and then went merrily along, refining, processing email, da 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 da, and saved it, closed it, went out with my wife, came back, opened it again, kept working, la-da-da-da-da-da. And it wasn't until I went to actually post this morning that I realized, oh, my God, I've been working on the wrong document. I've deleted all my original data. I suck a lot. Now, I'm sure there's probably a way I could have got that back if I wanted to shoehorn it. But the problem is I was in a time constraint. And sometimes you run out of time. Sometimes you can't actually, you know, find anything. But I'm willing to wager at this point in time that there was a lot of people who went out there and found the links that they even sent me and put it back up on the show. And you know what that is? That's reinforcement. And I'm gambling right now because as I record this, maybe nobody did that. Maybe no one even read it. Maybe nobody even posted. That's possible. I think it's unlikely, but it's possible. But I seem to have the vision that people will go out there and they will find the links that I've already covered and they got my back. And I got to tell you, if people do that, I'm sure at least somebody's got to do that. When people do things like that, when people stand up and we support each other rather than tearing each other down when somebody makes a mistake, we got to find ways for each other to be right, not find ways for each other to be wrong. And they say that in all the core political bullshit, you know, mind programming they give you. But they say that so that you can have some kind of cohesion. And that is the one thing that the counterculture has working against it. We've got some of the smartest people in the world. I would say the smartest people in the world involved with the internet, with the Wognis, with the whole, you know, cyberspace, that whole thing. We've got the most clever people on the planet, probably the most clever people in history, you know, involved with this. And a resource to information like the world has never seen. And yet we cannot seem to get our shit together long enough to make a positive change. And you've got to ask yourself, why is that? Why is it that Cult fell apart? Why is it that the WOG Coalition has problems? Why is it that all these hacker groups are usually the effective ones are kept to a limit of about 8 to 12 people? Why is that? The reason is because people will inherently fall on each other like wolves the minute they see weakness, because people's urges are the urge to be great and the sexual urge. And the easiest way to be great is to tear other people down and elevate yourself. And the easiest way to tear somebody down is to point out flaws and problems and things like this. Now, there's a difference between correcting someone because they actually are an error, you know, like they've made a calculation misjudgment, and going out of your way to find things that are wrong and you know, obscene amounts of criticism and all the rest of it. Those who can, do. Those who can't, criticize. And there's lots of folks who will come along inside of organizations. For all of you out there who want to start up WOG movements and stuff like that, take it from me, man. There's a lot of people out there that are going to tell you better ways to do things. They're going to make suggestions for things because it doesn't take any effort. It doesn't take any effort to correct someone. It doesn't take any effort to make a statement that's like, oh, well, you know, this was wrong or this was right or this was whatever. That doesn't take a lot of effort. What does take effort is to be consistent and to work hard every day. That takes effort. And for all of you out there who are busting your ass, keep it up, man. Keep it up. Because I know there's a lot of, you know, jackals howling at you, but the barking of the jackal should not disturb the sleep of the dragon. That's just how it is. Now, let's get into some news. In VR news, I love VR news because I love VR. I don't know, maybe I just, you know, I'm a child of the 80s, who knows. Dylan Thomas is being brought back to life in the form of a 3D moving image created using his death mask. This is just a hot story. And talk about, you know, do not go gently into that good night. No cinematographic footage of the Swan Sia poet, whatever the hell that word means. Jesus Christ, I'm gonna look that up right now. What does that mean? Swan Sia, looking for it. Swan Sia, translation, can't find it. Nobody knows what Swan Sia is. It's probably a poem he wrote. Maybe he wrote that song. Is that a book he wrote? Is believed to have survived. So no cinematic footage, meaning no moving pictures, making art student Bernard Mitchell's short film the only moving pictures of this guy, which they're not. They're moving pictures of a double. But anyway, scans were made at Morrison Hospital of Thomas's death mask, which forms the basis of 3D map of his face. Now, this is a very interesting thing for avatars. A computer animator and an actor have helped create the final images, which will be premiered in August. The 5-minute film showing the virtual Thomas reading Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night will form the finale of a one-man play at the Edinburgh Festival. Very, very cool. You know, Rage, Rage Against the Dying of the Light, You, My Father, and Heavenly Height, curse bless me now and thy fierce tears, blah, 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 blah. Mr. Mitchell, 58, who is also a professional photographer, became interested in Thomas's life in the 1960s when he took a series of portraits of the author's famous friends known as the Cardoma Boys. Ooh, see? Poets. The Cardoma Boys. Now, there is... You want to make change that into elite speak and make a name for your little WOG cell? Call them the Cardoma Boys, or maybe the Cardo Boys. Like Doughboys, only Cardo Boys? Hey, there's a tie-in. tie-in. I love tie-ins, you know? They're great. Anyway, he's now studying for a master's degree at the Swansea School of Art. Mr. Mitchell has been inspired to create Thomas as a part of a study of absence and presence. Okay, that sounds severely artistic. His first step was to have death masks scanned from all angles at a hospital's maxillofacial department. Well, that's interesting. And they were used by the Swansea East-based 3D animators I create to wrap virtual skin around the structure, blah, 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 blah. And it goes on to the technical details about how this all happens. Very, very cool. And honestly now, as augmented reality and virtual reality move more and more into the future, I think that we're going to see a resurgence in VR. I really do. I think we're going to see a resurgence in VR and especially in AR. There's a lot of interesting stuff going along in that field. I personally will be jumping on that bandwagon with both feet. Thank you very much. I think the whole concept is just, I think it's sexy. VR is hot. And you know, when I look back and like when Cult was running and they had the Black Sun in VRML and stuff like that, I mean, there was some really cool stuff we were doing, but the tech just was not there. But don't worry, we will rise again. Also, in VR news, listen to this here. A strange thing is happening in room H004 at the British Geological Survey headquarters. Now, this is kind of cool. People wearing oversized goggles are staring at a large TV screen and seeing Britain in ways it has never appeared before. The survey, based on Kenworth and Nottingham, is employing the latest three-dimensional technology to redraw its old-fashioned maps of the country's geology. Earthquake Fauci appears as white bubbles below the surface in an undulating purple plain represents the mysterious Moho, where planet's crust ends and the mantle begins. This article goes on to talk about how they're using 3D imagery and mapping. And this is, you know, you might say, well, how's that VR? Well, it is. Because what we need to do is we need to design a system of interface. And this is something that I've noticed. You ever notice that when you go over to Buddy's house, it's like the toilet paper thing, you know? You go to Buddy's house and he's got the toilet paper roll there, and sometimes there's the people who have the toilet paper come from the bottom of the roll, you know, it kind of rolls out from behind, and then there's people who have the toilet paper roll that comes out over the top. You know? Now, personally, I'm an over-the-top kind of person. You never would have guessed, but that's the truth. And I'm so much of an over-the-top person that when I go to other people's houses and they have it coming out from the underside, I go, wow, that's totally inefficient. And I'll switch the toilet paper roll around so it comes back out over the top. What an arrogant bastard, I know. But that's something that I do. Now, people will do this with computers as well, because chances are, if you've been called in to help someone with their computer because I can't make my email work and you're the computer guy, so you go in there, how many people actually, you wind up changing things in their settings? You ever notice that? You'll change how their icons are displayed. You'll organize things a little bit. Even though you're there just to fix the email, you'll organize stuff and make it more efficient for them, right? We'll do that. Now, the thing is, though, that there is no one all-encompassing efficient way to do stuff. And people don't spend enough time, I think, organizing their environment in an online sense so that they can work better. I know that I have, and that's why I've got my encryption going. That's why I've got my FTP up, because honestly, I'm working too much. I've got too much stuff on the go for me to stop and get this happening. Now, that's a horrible excuse. Because if anybody should have, like, things encrypted, it should be me, for sure. I mean, I'm sitting here espousing to everyone, you know, I should really practice what I preach and get that set up, get my FTP going, la, 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 la. There's a lot of things I gotta do. But honestly, though, how many people, how much time do you spend configuring your environment, you know, for optimization? And once you get it the way you want it, chances are you've got it the way you want it and you haven't touched it in a while. When was the last time you thought about changing, actually, you know, hit the barrier again and move towards a VR setup? What if you could get your hands on, a 3D head tracking mount system? How would you rearrange your desktop? Now think to yourself, how much work could you do or not do depending upon that? Would it be more efficient? And I put it to you that a virtual reality hookup for your desktop, a la Minority Report, a la, you know, Matrix, whatever, a la probably more Johnny Demonic than Matrix, but you see my point, is that if you exist, even in Matrix, you know, when they had that, they were docking with Zion and they had all these overlays and transparencies and stuff like that, that's what I see the future of computer interface turning into. And if we can be the first people to take that, use open source and apply that and show people through video tutorials, if I could build something like that, I would love with Sim, and I know Sim would be down with this, to do a video tutorial about how to use like something like Eyes from After Now. And you could distribute that for free. We'd film it for free. We'd teach it for free. We'd give out information for free. I mean, it'd be fantastic to do something like that. What an amazing contribution to society. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I really would love to get involved with something like that. But the problem? Time. It's always time, isn't it? Damn that sleep. Those little slices of death, how I loathe them. In arcology news, now this is a big story. In arcology news, not archaeology news, arcology news. More than half of all humans will soon be living in cities, according to a prediction by the United Nations. Psychologically, it is an important step for mankind, said Hania Zlotnik. Wow, there's a name. Director of the United Nations Population Division, and that's what she told the BBC, I think. There are concerns that in developing countries, basic provisions in cities will lag behind population growth. Well, you think? Observers will see increased pressure placed on resources and services as humankind becomes an urban species. It is an increasing trend that is becoming more obvious. People do not realize how the rural world was until recently. That is changing. Despite almost four millennia as centers of civilization, it was only fairly recently that cities attracted more than a small percentage of the global population. With hindsight, the 20th century was the century of urbanization. In 1900, only 14% of humanity lived in cities. But by the century's close, 47% lived in cities. This change is revealed by the growth in number of medium-sized cities. In 1950, there were 83 cities with population exceeding 1 million. By 2000, there have been 411 cities with populations exceeding 1 million. Now, this is very interesting stuff because when you look at a film, if you have not acquired and watched the film Baraka, you need to see that movie. That is another one of those very important films for you to acquire. And there are traditions and there are things that happen in those movies. Like, for example, in the film, I've talked about this guy a lot because I love this guy. There's a dude in the film Baraka who's walking. He looks like Raiden from Mortal Kombat, and he's walking along really slow, ringing this bell and holding a bull. And what that guy is, as I understand it, is he's a monk. He's a Shinto monk. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's Shinto. I'm not totally sure he's Shinto, but I think he is. And what he does is he walks at that pace across China. That's his gig, okay? And he may even walk across the continent of Asia because it takes him 5 years to do it. And this is like a standard thing that these people do. Now, you'd think to yourself, what a waste of 5 years. My God, what an incredible waste of 5 years. But you got to think to yourself, why did he do that? Why did he do that? Was it just a bad idea to lose a bet? Why did he do it? Why did he make that trek? Now, this brings us into, like, the realms of, like, you know, what it is to be human and so on and so forth. And when you look at this urbanization and you look at how we're totally declaring war on people who still live in nature, I put it to you that the human species is in the process right now. When we look back with 2020 vision, we're going to see that the human is in the process right now, right at this very moment, of creating itself as a new, totally independent, totally unnatural species. There is, like, hominis urbanus. That's what we're talking about here. And realistically, as we begin to augment, we will become more and more separated from nature. And that's when you get into spiritual problems. Because people want to know, well, I don't agree with becoming a cyborg. And you get into the ghost in the shell type thing. What, are you a sum of just your organic parts? Or is there something spiritual going on there? These are major, major problems. These are questions that nobody talks about. You know what I mean? And because to talk about these things, this kind of stuff is total heresy, especially from a science standpoint. For a scientist to say, maybe there's something to chi energy, as illustrated by the Chinese and over something like 4,000 years of medical knowledge, unlike the Western world, which has very little. So you've got to look at that and go, which choice do you make? Do you go back with the natural ways? But you can't go backwards. You got to go forwards. But you can't go forwards with this crazy, you know, total cannibalistic society we got going on. And that's where I think the WOGs will maybe take a step back. That's where people talk about things like farm punk, where we go out into areas of the rural wilderness and set up Wi-Fi, antennas that go back and forth, live in symbiosis with the network of nature. I think it's possible. Some people might say that I'm going all cyber hippie here, but I don't know. I don't know. The concept of running out of power in New York when I was down there, if there was a massive blackout, baby, we're 3 meals away from total anarchy in our cities, okay? And maybe, you know, oh, Sean, you're overreacting. Yeah, well, you never know. And maybe I'm paranoid, but I'll be all paranoid, you know, online in my treehouse. Thanks so much. In Netrunner news, if you're in the $10 billion a year video game business, LA is the place to be this week at something called E3, the Electronics Entertainment Expo. Please forgive the puffy poopies that this is.
It's an enormous raucous trade show. Like Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft show off their latest game boxes, and they shoot out their hearts, minds, and fingers of America's youth. Dun, dun, dun. Now, they're all going along talking about these games, but it's not the button pushing that's important, says Mitch Wade, an information consultant for firms like Google and the Rand Corp, who co-wrote a recent book called Got Game. It's the problem solving. And we see how when we survey professionals who grew up playing video games, what's a surprise is that they're better at things you need in business, like team play and careful risk-taking. Wade says smart business is learning to take advantage of these skills like multitasking. Another surprise, it isn't just young games playing the video games these days. 22-year-old Taniel Jensen is a game test game software, and she's a girl! Now, this is a terrible piece. This whole piece here is just like completely puppy poo. But what it does say is it shows that we are getting some positive press for video games. And you know what? With the way they're vilifying video games these days, I'll take all the positive press I can get with my hands on. But honestly, video games are better for your mind. When you consider that there's hot and cool media, okay? Hot media is media that is broadcasting to you. It has light through technology, i.e. television, i.e. video, things like that. Look, cold media is things that you have to read. You have to put effort into actually looking at the book, and you have to put the words together, so on and so forth. There's no power going to it. So that's what your difference is. Now, the thing is that when you have a video game, though, you have a hot media where you have to critically think. It's unlike a book. It's unlike television. Because you are controlling an avatar in a virtual world to accomplish a goal, which is generally geeking somebody. So you would look at that and go, interesting. You know, how is that as media? Is that hot or cold, or is that something else? Is that really where the future of mankind is going to go? Because developing your mind that way, if we have generation after generation after generation doing gaming in this fashion, how will we as an organism adapt to functioning in cyberspace? These are questions that I just, you know, I'm excited about the future, and that's the stuff I try to address with Afternow. Now, after I read this story, I got this story sent to me again by Fooish101, and at the end he went, MSNBC is running this story. They make Xbox. Possible slant? Now you're thinking. That's what I'm talking about. Fooish101, I didn't even think of that. But that's exactly the way you gotta think. How is this media? Who put this out? And what are they trying to sell? Because just about everything you see on the news now is very rarely news. They're selling to you. They're selling ideas. They're selling concepts. They're selling distraction. Let's get angry about the gay culture. Let's get angry. Let's be mad. Let's look at this. Look at this. Oh, shiny thing over here. Yes, we like it in Britain that kids aren't allowed to wear hoodies in the mall. See, more people are shopping because they're not terrified of kids with hoodies in the malls. It's bullshit. That's total propaganda, man. That's a complete slant to try to race in, you know, the brand new world order of surveillance society and dominated culture with a complete lack of freedom. We're going to be walking around wearing beige robes singing I'm an Oscar Mayer wiener, man. It's either that or it's going to be THX 1138, another film in the necessary acquisition folder. Now, let's get on to robotics news, which, again, is where I think the WOGs need to enter Dirt World. That's where we got to get back to meat space. If you think about this now, If you make yourself a avatar that functions online, well, what's the difference between making an avatar that functions online and making yourself a robotic body that operates the same like a UAV? You know, an unmanned autonomous vehicle? Hear this out here. The only robot that uses human-like organs to mimic speech was unveiled recently by engineers at Waseda University in Tokyo, Japan. The Japanese are all over robotics. You gotta ask why. The Japanese are not dumb. Okay, you can say a lot of things about the Japanese. Like, what the fuck are they doing over there? But they're not dumb, and they know that the future is robotics. That's why they're going absolutely buck wild going for this shit. Not only does Waseda Talker 4, or WT4, provide scientists with deeper insights in how the brain controls speech, it could lead to new methods and instruments of communication for people who cannot speak. There's a terrifying notion. The WT robots are uniquely humanoid because they aim to simulate movements of human speech articulated, such as the tongue, larynx, and lips. This, from a software standpoint, would be a nice nightmare, said Kayoshi Honda, head of the Department of Biophysical Imaging at the ATR Human Information Science Laboratories in Kyoto, Japan, who studies physiological and acoustic mechanisms of human speech. Kayoshi Honda, huh? Independent dynamic much? But anyway, the closest other humanoid robots come to simulating organ function, said Honda, is those that speak using mechanical lungs and vocal cords that change shape to produce sound. But the WD-4 goes a few steps higher, incorporating not only mechanical lungs and vocal cords, but also a motorized tongue, soft palate, lips, and teeth. Now, I personally think this is amazingly cool, but I don't know if I consider it to be something I'd really put in my robots. I mean, if you're making an android replicant or something like that, then yeah, you know, absolutely. But if you're not making a replicant, why don't you just use that subdural speaker thing with that faceplate that Woody built so that it brought... Imagine a robot with a completely chromed face. Okay, we're talking a la Black Hole, for those of you who've ever actually seen that ancient and very shitty, I might add, Disney film. There was a series of these, you know, he enslaved his crew and he had these chrome faceplates that went over everyone. And honestly, that's probably what my android would look like. And it would simply look at you and broadcast the robotic voice into your mind. Simply because, you know, I'm Sean Kennedy and, well, sometimes I like to take technology just a bit far. I enjoy creepiness. You can bet that if I make a droid, it's going to be creepy. Speaking of which, let's get into some Ghost in the Machine news. Death could become a thing of the past by the mid-21st century as computer technology becomes sophisticated enough for the contents of a brain to be downloaded onto a supercomputer, according to a leading British futurologist. A futurologist, eh? A leading British futurologist. Out of curiosity, would you guys say that I qualify as a futurologist? Because how the hell do you go to school for that? You know, I got after now, and a lot of my predictions have come true, so would you say that I could actually put futurologist on my business card? I would, except for the fact I'd feel like I was calling myself a mouseketeer. Futurologist, what a retarded title. However, he told the Observer newspaper, this technology might be expensive enough to remain to preserve for the rich for a decade or two or more. Remember what I said about when life extension happens, who's going to be able to afford it? Yeah. That's when people are going to start hitting Loomis trucks so they can stay alive. Among other eyebrow-raising predictions by Ian Pearson, head of the futurology unit at British telecommunications giant BT. They have a futurology unit? Jesus. Is the prospect of computer systems being able to feel emotions. This could eventually involve such things as aeroplanes being programmed to be even more terrified of crashing than the passengers, meaning they do whatever possible to stay airborne. Yeah, you're kind of cracking me out here. Now, this was linked a number of ways, but they're saying by 2050 it's feasible because we got 45 years and we got Moore's Law doubling technology every so often, yada, 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 yada. Which is fine. But the thing is that the thing that really got me with this article is the guy came out and said, well, when the technology's present, of course, you know, you got to have to be so rich to do it because the first people download their brains. You got to bear in mind that the pharaohs of ancient Egypt spent all their time building temples to encase their bodies. That was their focus in life. These people were worshipped as gods, and all they cared about was when they died. You know, kind of like the Christians, actually. It's kind of a death cult thing. But anyway, when you look at the whole, you know, what they're focusing their effort on, these people killed slaves, they murdered hundreds of people just to make themselves a tomb. But imagine making a robotic body for yourself. Now, this is something that I would like to do as Wogs. Realistically, what is our future? You know, you gotta think ahead, guys. Is this going to be a movement that was just like, you know, the mods or the Vespa scooter crowd or the beatniks or, you know, the hippies that'll have their heyday and then fall by the wayside? Or are we going to evolve and adapt, improvise, adapt, and overcome using speed, surprise, and aggressiveness of action in order to assimilate new technology into our movement so that we can stay free and proud and strong and keep the virtues of truth and justice and light and all out of the good Batman shit at the top of the scale? That's the idea. That's my hopes and dreams for what I want for myself and my peers. You know, I'm doing all I can, and I know you're doing all you can too. So what can we do to not prepare for yesterday's technology? How can we prepare for the future? And this is something that I've talked about with Sim a number of times. You know, I honestly believe that even though I know nothing about robotics, honestly to God, you know, actually, no, to be fair, I do know something about robotics. I know a little bit about programming logic controllers, and by I mean little. I designed a computer interface for one using some off-the-shelf components one time. I picked up a copy of The Robot Builder's Bonanza. Great book to start on. Good book to start on if you're interested in robotics. But I think as Wogs, even if you're just artistic, we should start designing our own robotic bodies. Realistically, if you're like 14, 15, 16, 17 right now, you are on the upward swing. Your body's full of human growth hormone. You're thinking rather clearly, and you're assimilating information, probably at a crazy pitch, probably faster than most other people can assimilate information. So realistically, should you not be planning for your retirement? Because honestly, retirement is not going to be what we thought it was. If you were a vampire and lived, like, say, several thousand years, would you work 1,000 years and invest money so that you would not have to work for the remainder of time? Consider this. Consider if you were immortal antiques would lose their value because there'd be so many people with antiques that eventually, you know, comic books wouldn't be shit because everybody's got one of those. You see what I mean? If people live long enough, if you work 100 years, start a business, eventually, you see, the people who become immortal will continue to use their businesses to elevate. And therefore, I don't think that life extension technology will get cheaper. I think it'll get more expensive because that way only the super, super rich, you must be this rich in order to stay immortal. That's the direction it'll go because the last thing that any government, people, elite society, you know, core political wants is for hundreds of thousands of, you know, WOGs and people who adhere to the WOG mentality. You know what I'm saying? These people, they don't want them to be immortal because then not only do they have a problem, they've got an eternal problem with these guys who just won't stop. These people, you know, they'll have their technology. They'll be able to build their robotic bodies and stuff like that. And, you know, it'll be all information, all the information, all of the information will be copyrighted. It'll all be intellectual property, and you will not be able to own that. If you work for a corporation, your mind and body will then belong to the corporation. All this is ready to happen. People already signed non-disclosure agreements. I've had people, when I've talked to them, and say, why don't you get on patrol? Oh, I can't do that. Why can't you get on patrol? Oh, I signed a non-disclosure agreement with my trade. What are you talking about? Well, I can't even appear on any electronic medium on the internet without my company's permission. What the fuck? How is that possible? That's people give up their rights. People give up their rights. People can't tell you what you can and cannot tattoo on your body. People can't tell you whether or not you got piercings in your face, whether you should cover them up. Why don't you, just go ahead and cover up that piercing on your face. How about I add another fucking hole to your head, shit pump? Tell me to cover my piercings on my fucking face. I see that all the time. I see it in Starbucks. You go in there, there's this beautiful woman in there, you know? And she'll have her red hair there, and it's all falling down around her shoulders. She's got a little apron on. She's got her job going. And she's got this Band-Aid over her eyebrow. You know, and there's obviously nothing wrong with her eyebrow. There's nothing red and inflamed. And I look a little closer, and the Band-Aid, of course, is elevated off her eyebrow because it's covering an eyebrow ring. You see what I'm saying? And that's what she does. And I look over, and there's another guy. He's got tattoos on, but he's got green, like, leg warmers, only they're like arm warmers, and they're covering up his tattoos. And I said to him, I said, dude, do you have to wear that to cover up your tattoos? He goes, yeah, it's company policy. And I'm like, company policy? Company policy that tells you whether or not you can show off your arm because somebody might find, you know, your particular Japanese symbols you've tattooed there to be offensive. My God, man, how far have we fallen? You know, and this is why, honest to God, that if we need to start educating people, we need to start educating people not about the past, but about the future. Look to tomorrow. Don't look to today. Don't be distracted by all this other bullshit. If the planet dies, okay, fine. We'll switch chassis. We'll go to a metallic body. But honest to God, I think the future is going to be people building their own robotic bodies, even if you start with drawings, even if you start with concepts. Start thinking about that now. Think about how you want your optics to work. Start learning about robotics because that's the future. If you do not master technology, technology will master you. And it is up to each and every one of us, not only for ourselves, not only for you and I, but for the children of these people, of the sheeple, of the mundane who do not think this way. For all those Christians out there who are beautiful, gentle, loving people, just like all the Islamic people who are beautiful, gentle, loving people manipulated by the core political. Same with the Jews. Same with, you know, I'm sure on a personal level, there's even some deranged Scientologists who are being horribly manipulated, who are really good people. I like Tom Cruise. I do. I think he's a good guy. I think the guy's being used, and I think he's being exploited. It's like so many other cults and corporations. They all use the same techniques now. And realistically, we online, you listening right now, the guy, girl, person, human being, cat, goldfish, whatever, okay, listening to this show right now, you are it. You are the future, man. You're the future of free thought and free speech and free action. You can't lose that. And so long as even if you get put into solitary confinement and beat down onto the floor, you've got to remember that, you know what, at least I'm still free. I'm still me. I'm still a human being. You see? It's more than just, you know, going along and towing the party line. It's more that being human and being free is more than just flesh and blood. There's a lot of rogue robots that are going to be running around in 50 years, I betcha. And there's going to be a WOG logo on them, too, with the Army of the Flying Monkeys. In Surveillance Nation news, library officials in the suburb of West Chicago have come up with a high-tech solution for keeping unauthorized visitors from their computers. Unauthorized visitors to the library. Unauthorized library visitors. No, that doesn't make sense. They're going to start doing fingerprint scans in the libraries, people. The scanners, to be installed on 130 library computers this summer, will verify identity of computer users. This data can be channeled and seized by the government. We've already covered this in a previous show. So do not use the library computer scan. Do not scan your fingerprints into fuck all. Do not do that. Okay, just don't do it. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm getting very, very close to dipping my fingers in lye. I swear to God, I don't do that. Don't do that. I'm making a joke, okay? I don't want kids burning their fingers off because chemical burns are not something you want to fuck around with. A lot of people see Fight Club and think that'd be really cool. Okay, don't do that. You can really hurt yourself and damage yourself permanently. It's not like it is in the movies. Library officials say they wanted to tighten computer access because many people borrow library cards from passcodes from friends and families to log on. The technology will also help the library implement a new policy that allows parents to put filters on their children's accounts. Okay, now, why is this bad? A library should be a place where you go to get any kind of information for free. It should not be, you know, Christ, if I get my hands on enough cash, maybe I should just move out to some island off the west coast of Vancouver here, and I'll open up a library where people can send hard copy books. And you'll have to take a boat to get to my library. And I know this is getting awful mystic, you know what I mean? But seriously, maybe it'll come down to that. Some big black pyramid broadcasting Wi-Fi to be the last great bastion with automated guns trying to keep information free for everyone. So people can learn about herbs and naturally occurring plants and vines that actually cure diseases. So people can learn about what kind of technology you need to use for life extension. So people can learn about robotics and all the intellectual proprietary shit that people are trying to keep information from the daily person. And that's what it is. This is not got nothing to do with protecting the fucking children. This has got to do with restricting access to information. That's what this is about. We take people's fingerprints because they think they might be guilty of something, not because they want to use the library, said Ed Yahanka, spokesman for the American Civil Liberties Union in Illinois. While the library insists the fingerprints data will be kept confidential, Yahanka warns the technology will create a database of personal information that could be used by used in unintended ways. Library records have been a focus of privacy debate ever since Congress passed the Patriot Act shortly after September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks, the beginning of the end. A provision of the law enforcement and federal officials to obtain tangible items like credit card receipts and library records as part of foreign intelligence and international terrorism investigations. So this is just terrifying to me that they're starting to fingerprint people at the library. I don't give a fuck how or why, you know, you try to dress that up, but I go to the library and you want my prints. I don't fucking think so. This is one of the reasons why, you know what, you want to go in and register your prints? No problem. I'll go in, use my same mock-ups I published on Newsreel before, and if they're taking your prints for the first time, give them fake prints. Give them fake prints and keep keep a hold of your library key, which is a fake finger with a fake fingerprint. That's how you get around it. Escape and evade. Do not give them a target to strike, and they will not know where to shoot. The quickest way to miss a target is to not be able to aim at it. In BTL news, better than life for all you Beetleheads out there, a looming boom in the in-game industry just got the poobahs drooling at E3, with marketers and game execs salivating over the prospect of colonizing pop culture's last virgin territories. You ready for this one? In-game advertising seems to be a terrific investment. Mitchell Davis, CEO of Massive, a company that connects game companies with advertisers, told an audience Thursday that in his studies show in-game ads boost brand recognition by 23% to 35%. So you have an increase of 12%. By comparison, he explained, good television campaign might net a 6% to 8% brand lift. Wow. Plus, people spend nearly the same amount of time playing video games every day as using the internet, according to Yankee Group senior analyst Michael Goodman, who spoke Tuesday. They're talking about putting banners in all the games. Now, we've already seen this. You know, you play these games and you're running around the city and stuff like that. There'll be billboards everywhere. But now it'll say, you know, buy a fill-in-the-blank. Make sure you've got a fill-in-the-blank. Wouldn't this game be better with a fill-in-the-blank? Isn't that just sick and weird? Now, this is the kind of thing where, you know, you got to look after your mind share up. Grade your gray matter, because one day it may matter. And let me tell you, that day is coming awful damn fast. We've already got the advertisers jacking in to our augmented realities, into our VR realities, into our alternate worlds. And anybody who's ever been online playing, Counter-Strike or anything like that, that really is another dimension when you're there. You know, while you're there, you're running around and you're flying around. And I don't want to be just saturated with advertising because that's an escape. It's an escape. We don't need that there. There must be a way we could prevent this. Maybe with a hack or something. I don't know. But there's got to be a way we can do it. In SCOP news, for those of you who've read Islands in the Net by Bruce Sterling, an amazing book. Bruce is an awesome guy. In 1998, that would be almost, 7 years ago, Arpad Pusztai. Wow, Pusztai. Sorry about your luck there, dude. A scientist at the Rowett Research Institute in Aberdeen, Scotland, appeared on British television program The World in Action to report that transgenic foods, foods that are bioengineered to exclude a gene from another species, may be unsafe. Now, this is back in 98. He did this. His research indicated that rats fed transgenic potatoes suffered from damaged immune systems and stunted growth. Pusztai fed the rats potatoes that had been genetically engineered to contain lectin from a snowdrop ball to make it pest resistant. Lectins are sugar-binding proteins that can provide protection from insects, nematodes, and some diseases, whatever the fucking nematode is. According to Pusztai, who's one of the world's foremost authorities on lectins, the rats who ate these high-tech potatoes showed evidence of organ damage and poor brain development. French fries much? McDonald's much? This experiment was the first independent study, one not sponsored by a biotech corporation, to examine the effects of bioengineered food on mammals. Okay. We are assured that this is absolutely safe and that no harm can come to us from eating genetically engineered food. But if you give me the choice, I wouldn't eat it, he said on TV, warning that the food industry is treating the public like unwitting guinea pigs. In an attempt to quell the resulting public furor, Rowett Institute director Philip James, who had approved Pusztai's TV appearance, said the research results didn't exist. He fired Pusztai, broke up his research team, halted the six other similar projects his team was working on, and seized the data. Pusztai, who under the terms of his contract was gagged, was unable to respond to his critics. So, for those of you out there who are a little concerned about genetically modified food, there's a little more fuel for the fire. In Netrunner news, Lyco's DSL in Germany says it will no longer store dynamic IP addresses of its customers, now that a specialist on data privacy laws from Frankfurt University has threatened to sue the company. Jonas Breyer has asked Lycos what data was kept on him and whether information was shared with backbone providers, but the ISP refused to cooperate, probably to avoid further lawsuits. Lycos has now decided to ditch IP storage altogether. Now, this is a great idea, and honestly, all internet providers should do this because you know what? It's a good idea. It's a great way to get yourself out of the loop. Why do you need to know who you're providing to? You know, just you're getting paid. Why give the cops more fuel? That's what I say. Now, I'm all for, you know, people say, well, how are you going to stop things like, I don't know. How are you going to stop things like, you know, pedophiles, Sean? How are you going to hunt them down? Well, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. We'll get some logs on that. We'll figure that out. Don't you worry about that. We'll just get rid of the IP logging, and we'll take out the pedophiles. How's that for a deal? Not a problem. Not a problem. In Shadow Rider news, for those of you out there who want to look that sucker up, in an unmarked building in downtown Washington, Brian K. Nagel and 15 other Secret Service agents manned a high-tech command center poised for a target for the largest ever roundup of a cybercrime gang. Now, listen to this story. This is... I mean, they're trying to Tom Clancy the shit out of this. The huge map of the U.S. spread out across 12 digital screens, giving a view of their prey from Arizona to New Jersey. It was Tuesday, October 26, 2004, and Operation Firewall was about to be unleashed. The target? The Shadow Crew, a gang whose members were schooled in identity theft, bank account pillage, and the fencing of ill-gotten wares on the web. Police say... For months, agents have been watching their every move through clandestine gateway into their website, shadowcrew.com, to ensure the suspects were home. Gang member turned informant had pressed his pals to go online for a group meeting. The rat fink, the sellout, the stool pigeon who fucked over his mates to turn them all into the cops. At 9 p.m., Nagel,
The Secret Service's Assistant Director for Investigation issued the go order. Go, go, go! Agents armed with 6-hour 229 pistols and MP5 semi-automatic machine guns swooped in, aided by local cops and international police. The adrenaline was pumping in part because several Shadow Crew members were known to own weapons. Weapons could be anything from hair dryers to fucking pocket knives. Weapons! 28 members were arrested, most still at their computers. The alleged ringleaders went quietly, but one suspect jumped out a second-story window. Goddamn straight. Agents nabbed him on the ground. Later, they found a loaded assault rifle in his apartment. Well, you know. Operation was swift and bloodless. Cyber gangs were always, thought they always operated with anonymity, says Nagel, a tall, chiseled G-man. We rattled them. The new breed of cyber crime fighter prowling cyberspace, the Hacker Hunters, also called Shadow Riders inside the, I think it was Cyberpunk world, or it could be the Shadowrun world. Spurred by big profits, professional cyber criminals have replaced amateur thrill-seeker hackers as the biggest threat on the web. Blah, 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 hacker vilification, hacker vilification. Now, the problem here is that if these guys, if these cyber riders, if the government starts really going hardcore after hackers, you got to bear in mind you're going after people who could make the arrest very difficult for you, especially with the advent of robotics. Now, I don't want to get too elaborate here, and this is not intended as a threat to all my law enforcement brethren out there, but you guys need to understand that the people you think are criminals is anyone who has knowledge of, you know, like the kung fu of computers, which is what it's turning into now, techniques and, you know, software wares, all that good stuff. They're trying to make everyone look really, really evil. And that concerns me. That concerns me. In Shadowrun news, the Bank of America Corp and Wachiva Corp, the Bank of America, are among the biggest banks notified more than 670,000 customers that account information was stolen. And what may be the biggest security breach to hit the banking industry. Bank of America was jacked, and they lost 670,000 customers' info. Yeah, don't trust the banks. Nobody can secure their data. Today's Daily Hack, the Bluetooth sniper rifle. Very cool. I saw this at DEF CON 2004. This tells you how to build, essentially, a rifle that will allow you to scope in and snoop during a from about a mile away, a Bluetooth device. This is something I talked about in my new book, too, which is really cool, because that's what they do. And the cybercrime concept is when people show up at airports, they start using these rifles to scope cabs, because unless people in the cabs, chances are they just flew in, they may have laptops they could be accessing in the cab. Good way to start hacking data with these Bluetooth sniping rifles. That was my thought, anyway. And I got another thing for you here. It's something called a BellArc, a sitrep tool. Got this email. Hey, don't know if you guys ever heard of this. It's a free program that tells you everything about your computer, even all the nice little hidden keys for all the programs that are pre-installed on your computer. Very, very cool. Might want to take a look at that so you get an accurate sitrep of your operating environment. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This has been a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of Four Elite, Druid Weissimaru, Tara David, Jesse, The Grey Ghost, Drake, Triad, Philip Robert, Mainframe, Russell, Michael, Andrew, End User, Christopher, Derek, Jesse, Joseph, Eric, Desert Runner, Steve, Matt, Steve, Brandon, Jesse, Peter, Keith, Timor, Malcolm, Rosalie, Sergeant Tibbs, Evan, Matt, Austin, David, Adam, Host Mojo, Jonathan, Richard, Brandon, Noog, Jonathan, Philip, Jason, Art, Matt, Duel, Michael, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Dark Nature, and Brandon. News this month with Charles. Hey, Chuck, come for your daughter. Very cool. Thanks to see you. Good to know you. If you would like to help keep this daily broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab, because every little bit helps. Special thanks to the Army of Flying Monkeys, the Hard Net Runners who brought you this info today, Desert Runner, Dead Code, Foulware, Tech Freak, Phoenix, Ascarta, Lensman, Skyburst, Pro, Kumiriko, Desakatu, Desak... You know, I even named the guy. DS Otaku, Bonsai Poppy, Fooish 101, Kizzle, No Delete, and Omega Draconis. Digital Baptisms today, Kumiriko's LG LS50 is now known as Mule. Doobie X is now Hookah Tech. Doobie X is now Hookah Tech. Sorry, I got to say this slowly. And Nishikawa is now Shinto Rebel. I really like that one, too. Shinto Rebel's cool. And thanks again to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S at... N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Pig, A Poke in the Eye with a Sharp Stick. I'm going to leave you now with a song sent to me by Mookie
from partyband.com. The song's called Faithless. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
Saddam Hussein has gone to elaborate lengths to build and keep weapons of mass destruction. And we must act before the dangers are upon us.
The war goes on, and we are winning. Whether long-range weapon or suicide bomb, a wicked mind is a weapon of mass destruction. Whether your solar wave sun or BBC One, this information is a weapon of mass destruction. You could have Caucasian or a poor Asian. Racism is a weapon of mass destruction. Whether inflation or globalization, fear is a weapon of mass destruction. Whether Halliburton, Enron, or anyone, greed is a weapon of mass destruction. We need to find courage, overcome. Inaction is a weapon of mass destruction. Inaction is a weapon of mass destruction. Inaction is a weapon of mass destruction.
Weapon of mass destruction.